The Certainty of the Answer. Written by D.S. Star. Read by S.B.L. Fandom, The Untamed. Lan-chan. Wayne peers into Lan-wen-ji's face with her big brown eyes and asks, in defiance of all evidence and logic, "You like Mian Mian, don't you?" It is at this point that Lan-wen-ji, after more than a year of constant provocation, at last suffers some sort of frustration-induced mental breakdown and mashes her lips against Wei Ying's. It only takes a moment for her self-restraint to reassert itself and for her to wrench herself away, pressing her spine to the cave wall and grasping for an apology. Before she can find the words, though, Wei Ying blinks and says, "Huh, so that's how to get you to kiss me. Weird. Never worked before." She shrugs, grins, and then leans in to kiss Lan-wen-ji back, thereby occasioning Lan-wen-ji's second mental breakdown in as many minutes. At this point, Lan-wen-ji's mind ceases to operate on a level capable of self-restraint. It is occupied entirely by such unhelpful and ungoverned thoughts as, "Her lips are so soft," and "Her hands are so warm," and "How do I get her to make that noise again?" The habits of a lifetime, however, are not so easily overthrown. Eventually, Lan Wenji's mental and moral faculties begin to reassert themselves, and certain imperatives become clear. "Wei Ying," she says. Wei Ying hums with pleasure and kisses Lan Wenji again. With a great effort of will, Lan Wenji breaks the kiss. "Wei Ying." A louder hum. Wei Ying wriggles even closer, slides her knee in between Lan Wenji's thighs. Lan Wenji makes an undignified breathy sound and clamps her hands onto Wei Ying's shoulders. "Wei Ying, stop." Wei Ying freezes. She studies Lan Wenji's face. Whatever she sees there makes her relax. "Lan-chan, why?" she asks reproachfully. "We must wait." Wei's whole face draws down from her eyebrows to the pout of her lips. "Wait? For what?" Lan Wenji takes a deep breath.
"I must ask Shu Fu for permission to marry."
Wei Ying freezes again. For a few breaths, she is silent, blinking. Then she says, "To marry." She trails off, then points at herself.
"Now?"
Wei Ying digests this.
"Do the precepts of Gu Sulan
permit to women to marry?" She looks fascinated. "No." Lan Wenji's gaze cuts to the side.
"But they do not forbid it."
"Lan-chan, you sound almost like me,"
Wayne says, audibly impressed. Lan Wenji tries to suppress a slight flinch. Wayne is the perfect form of Wayne, but she is not the perfect form of Lan Wenji.
"Will Lan Xianxiang agree?"
Wei Ying is back to looking fascinated. Lan Wenji hesitates.
"No," she acknowledges.
In the abstract, the head disciple of Yun Mengjiang, even if born a commoner, is a passively correct connection for the Lan heir. But this specific Yun Mengjiang head disciple, troublemaking, reckless, rule-breaking, thrown out of cloud recesses after instigating the most chaotic of an escalating series of chaotic episodes in Shufu's painstakingly orderly world. Not so much. Not without, anyway,
a significant investment of time and effort in rehabilitating Wei's reputation with Gusulan in general and Shufu in particular.
So?
Wei says, eyebrow raised. Luanji shakes her head.
The certainty of the answer does not excuse the obligation.
To pursue sexual congress with Wei Ying without at least attempting to legitimize the relations would be disrespectful to Wei Ying, and to forge such a connection without at least notifying Shufu would be unfilial.
I can't think of a good excuse.
Wei's hand starts scraping up Lan Wenji's thigh.
Lan Wenji removes it. Wei Ying pouts.
Lan Wenji is unmoved.
She has another concern. It will be necessary to ask the permission of Jiang Zongchu as well.
Wing's eyes go wide.
I've caused Jiang Shushu enough trouble in his life, she says. Lan Chen, I don't think, and he'll probably say no anyway. He can't spare me, not with a war coming.
Such a short memory.
Wing, that does not excuse the obligation to ask.
Wei huffs out a sigh and looks very put upon, but she doesn't climb off of Lan Wenji's lap or shrug Lan Wenji's hand off of her shoulder. So Lan Wenji surmises that she cannot be too upset. With a nod, Lan Wenji summarizes.
When we are rescued, I will return to Cloud Recesses to rebuild what was destroyed and seek permission from Shufu. When the sect is recovered, I will travel to Lotus Pier and seek permission there as well to marry Wei Ying.
Wei Ying's eyes narrow with suspicion as quickly as they widened with surprise.
Isn't there someone you're forgetting?
Lan Wenji frowns, nonplussed.
Someone else whose permission you need to ask to marry me?
No other candidates immediately suggest themselves, but Lan Wenji knows a leading question when she hears one.
Jiang Wenyin, she says, doubtful.
He is Wei Ying's brother, but a younger brother, though higher in rank. Then the superior answer arrives.
Jiang Yanli, she says, with confidence.
Jiang Yanli is not the heir, but she is Wei Ying's older sibling after all, and they are clearly very close. Wei Ying shakes her head. The expression on her face is somewhere between annoyance and amusement. Lan Wenji is accustomed to evoking the former. The latter, only ever in her brother, and rarely, until Wei Ying.
No, Lan Chen.
Does Wei Ying have a surviving grandparent? Does she want Lan Wenji to ask Bao Shen San Ren for her hand?
Wei Ying presses her lips together. Lan Wenji very much wants to kiss her again.
Me? You need my permission.
Lan Wenji considers this.
Wei Ying kissed me, she points out.
People who aren't married to each other still kiss, and more than that, Wei Ying counters, dry. You know that. You're not that sheltered. Lan Wenji pauses. She becomes aware, abruptly, of the hard rock beneath and behind her, of the chill in the air, of the throb of her broken leg. She had forgotten them when her lips met Wei Ying's. But now? Of course she knows that people have dalliances, and Wei Ying is so reckless, so rebellious. Maybe such matters of propriety and honor have little meaning to her. No. Honor means a great deal to Wei Ying. Lan Wenji knows that. In the sharp, slightly painful way she knows every fact about which she once erred. But then, even if honor would bind Wei Ying to a person with whom she seeks a lasting connection, perhaps Lan Wenji is not such a person. Perhaps what Wei Ying feels for Lan Wenji, if anything, is too slight to support a marriage. Slight enough only to sustain something fleeting.
No, Lan Wenji thinks again.
Wayne's persistence in seeking Lan Wenji's friendship and company, her tenderness in caring for Lan Wenji's wounds, her courage in defending Lan Wenji again and again against Wen Chao. These are not the actions of someone seeking a meaningless round of bad games. And, it suddenly occurs to Lan Wenji, if Wayne had any objections on the question of marriage, she could have raised them at the beginning, when Lan Wenji had first mentioned it. A simple, "I don't want to marry Lan Chen," would have sufficed to cut off all further discussion of the logistics. But Wayne made no such statement. Flush with relief, so dizzy with it that she could swear she can detect the phantom taste of Emperor's smile on her tongue, Lan Wenji shakes her head. Tracing a finger down the curve of Wayne's cheek, she says,
"Wayne will say yes, when he wishes."
Lan Wenji hesitates. It is early to say this, but she is sure.
"Wayne wishes to keep me, as I wish to keep her."
Wayne places her hands very carefully to frame Lan Wenji's face, and leans in for a kiss of the most surpassing sweetness. "Oh, Lan Chen," she murmurs into the small, warm span of air between their lips. "You're right. But as a wise woman once said," she smiles, wide and just a little bit crooked, "the certainty of the answer does not excuse the obligation." The end.